Let me prepare you guys for something. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I think I'm going to do it. One of the things the district superintendent did is during assembly is he called all the pastors to the front and he gave us all packets of salt. And he was talking about when they ate together in the Jesus day, they called it passing the salt, and it stood for the idea of loyalty and friendship and forgiveness. No. Love, friendship, and forgiveness. And so he gave us all packets, and he said, I want you to pass the salt to at least 10 other pastors up here. And I thought, come on. I hate that kind of intentional love that people make you do sometimes. So I smile. I didn't even act like it was anything. But so I passed my salt to somebody, gave them a hug. I passed somebody else, gave them a hug, and they started liking it. And I thought, I don't care if it's only 10. I'm doing 11. And I thought, there is something, or there should be something about believers that we really love and care for one another. And I think in our fast-paced life, we kind of miss that a little bit. And, well, the good news is I got no time for my sermon, but the great news is I got just enough time for what I wanted to make sure that I wanted to say. Matt, could you just get me all the way to the end? Like the, how about the black slide at the end? No, how about the slide right before the black slide at the end? Anyway, so district assembly was powerful for me, and but beyond that, at the end, the district superintendent was sharing some things, and it was interesting. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I'm wearing a band. Anybody see that? Now don't think anything of me, just whatever. I'm just going to tell you kind of the way I am. At some point in the service, I saw the DS. Okay. Thanks for ruining surprise. Could you kind of go backwards? The service was going so good. And it's interesting. I saw the DS with the band, and here's what my mind thought. This is all the baggage of my life. I thought, I don't like that band. Men don't wear bands. Men wear watches. And but I'm wearing a band, and I'm going to tell you why I'm wearing a band. Okay, now I'm going to show you. Pretend like you've never seen any of this. Okay, Mac, did you do something to me? I can't even switch the screen now. Could you advance me one slide? There we go. If you've been around the church, you've heard me say that before. There was a time in my life where these three words just really were powerful in my life. And even though I've been in the church my whole life, I have battled this idea that my life counts. And I remember at some point, I can't remember anything about it, but I just felt like God told me, your life counts. Matter of fact, I'm going for my doctorate, so I've got to do all kinds of different things that I'm not doing now, or was. But I wrote a purpose statement. I try to read this every day. And my first line is to rest in being a child of God, because it's hard for me to rest because I realize I'm so flawed. And there's a verse that says, not having a righteousness of our own. But I always keep thinking it's about my own righteousness. So the first thing I had to put out is to rest that I'm a child. If I knew my kids woke up and thought, what can I do today to make my dad love me? It'd break my heart. It's the same with the God of the universe. Now, we may reject him and do our own thing, but he loves us. And so for me, I have put my faith in Christ Jesus, so I am a child of God. And so for me, the thing is, I need to rest in that every day. And then right along with it, I put, and then to live a life worthy of the Lord. And then I put this, and to proclaim to as many people as I can that their life matters to God in both essence and action. It's like every person here matters to God. And I've shared this story with you. When I was thinking about this, I had all kinds of neat ideas, and I thought, I'm going to put a big sign in our yard, even though we don't have a big place to put a sign. I'm going to put a sign that says, your life counts. And so I was getting all whatever. So I was going around town asking people about this idea, your life counts. And this is the question I would ask people. I just kind of met people. And I said, if you walked by a church and this sign was in the yard of the church, what would that matter or mean to you? And I don't remember what anybody said except one lady. She said, I could care less what that sign says. Church is completely insignificant for me. So I'm thinking, well, then you got to be the sign. Now, this is why I'm wearing a bracelet. The DS shared this, and for me, I had thought about your life counts. We're actually going to do something in the fall for our small groups about calling, and I think we're going to call it your life counts. But it was this, no invisible people. And so on this band, it says no invisible people. And I thought, I'm going to wear this bracelet until I feel like in our church there are no invisible people. But there are invisible people in this church. Pastor Brian told me this, and I just feel like it's going to stick in my mind forever, but he was talking about a youth camp. And the speaker told the teens, if your youth group stinks, it's your fault. And I think if there are invisible people in our church, it's our fault. They say, no, it's your fault. You're the preacher. No, it isn't my fault. I mean, it's my fault if I'm not doing anything. But I just think, and so even for me, I thought, I'm wearing this until this is our story. That I feel like this is the fabric of who we are. That when people come to this place, they know their life counts. It counts in general because they're made in God's image. But their actions matter. This was what my sermon was going to be about today. People think, well, I'm saved by grace. How I behave doesn't make a difference. That's a bunch of baloney. Your life counts because you have value, but your life counts because of what you do with it. When you decide that you're going to encourage somebody. And by the way, in our culture, it's all about, hey, do they got a job? Are they healthy? Are they this? Are they that? And I'm like going, what is that going to do for somebody long term? If they don't know the God of the universe. Somebody gets sick, we just think, oh! By the way, I don't know if Araceli's here, but she asked me today to come pray for Araceli. Pray for her friend's mother, Mercedes, who has terminal brain cancer. So we're going to go see her today. And part of what I want to say when I go in the door is, hey, Mercedes, your life counts. I have no idea where she's at. I have no idea what she thinks about God or anything else. But I just think, you know, Mercedes, you know why I'm here today? Because Jesus Christ loves you. Are you afraid? You don't have to be. Your life has value. And I think, how in the world am I going to get involved in this lady's life unless Araceli asked me to go? I'm not saying every time you got a sick person, you got to ask me to go, but I'm just thinking, man, we're out here to make a difference in people's lives. But it's just like this. No invisible people. Now let me plug something since we don't have any time left anyway. Small groups, life groups. June and July, we're meeting together, life groups. We're doing men against women because I like that. I like to try to beat my wife at stuff. But I got like both hands tied behind my back. I didn't even know we had the pictures of the teens above our mirror. That's how slow I am. So I don't like to battle her in mental game, but I like to battle her in like things that don't matter, like how far I can throw a stick or things like that. But we're going to have these life groups, men against women, just because I like a good fight. And we're going to see how many people we can get to come and how many cans of food we can bring, all that kind of stuff. Just see, men, don't let me down. But you know what I like about this is because I'd like to see every face in that life group at least once. Because I think it'll help the idea of there'll be no invisible people. People say, well, I said, well, I'll say a name. Somebody said, well, I have no idea who that is. I get it. But if they're a woman, go to the life group. Maybe you'll see them. It's hard to see them if you sit in front and they sit in back and they go. I get it. But I'm just saying, even in here, even in this church, and it's not even just people in this church, it's people in the world. Now, there's people I want to be friends with. Hers aren't here. I can say whatever I want. You know, we have Jim and Lois Herr go to our church here. They're kind of like local celebrities. I mean, I dropped their name like, I don't know, like what? It's like, if I can throw it out there, I do. It's like, yeah, it's a tough day today. Yeah, Jim Herr goes to our church. Well, what about those Eagles? Yeah. Have you heard the Hers commercial for Eagles for the chip? Man, it's fantastic. By the way, Jim Herr goes to our church. Well, there's people we want to be around. But this is in this church, there should be no invisible people. In your class at school, there should be no invisible people. Are there people invisible in your class? Absolutely. People that people make fun of and shun and all that business. You say, man, you attach yourself to them people. That's a problem. It is. I'm sorry. I'm getting all yelly. I wrecked it. But I just thought, I'm wearing this armband. I'm wearing this armband until there are no invisible people. At least I feel like everybody in this church, as best they can, are thinking, there's no invisible people here. You say, well, I'm an introvert. I don't like to meet people either. I mean, really. I mean, I love people, but when I meet you at first, I'm so nervous. Cameo still blames me for how I sweat, you know. I get nervous. I'm nervous with people. So if you tell me your name, I forget it. And I thought, I'm going to develop a new thing. We have a wonderful couple that have come in, the Reagans, and I know their names. But I thought, what I'm going to do next time is say, hey, man, I'm really glad you're coming to our church. But I'm telling you right now, I've already forgotten your name. Can I take a picture and write your name down? Because I want to remember it. And I know how I am. I'm just nervous. I don't want to tell that to everybody. They think I'm a weirdo. But I'm just saying, you know, whatever excuse you're giving, it isn't a good enough excuse. You know, you're out there wanting to help this person and that person, and there's somebody out there that's invisible. They're thinking they're invisible. And I think, wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden Christ in us notices them? I just think that's fantastic. And let me just say this thing real quickly about unity. There's so many things I don't do well, but there's one thing I got in my head that I am absolutely confident in. It's just a part of who I am. I feel like if you don't have unity in the church, you're shy. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. If you don't love one another in the church, you just blow that all up. But you know what I love about unity? Is because I think, you know what, I'm like a one-track mind. I'm thinking, your life counts. Now, Pastor Brian can take the scriptures and expand them and do all this stuff. I can't do it like he does it, but I don't have to. But I do have this burning in my heart. Your life counts. You have value in God's eyes. And I want you to know it because it took me my whole life to try to learn that. So I don't have to be you because we're one. So the people that are creative, they get to be creative. People that are like me that just can say, hey man, I like it and I don't even know why. But I just think, what an incredible privilege to be Steve. I wish the Gaspars could be here. Because you can't think about the McCartneys without the Gaspars. And you can't think about the Gaspars without Pastor Sharps. And you can't think about Pastor Sharps with all the stuff in his life. Isn't this great? All right, I'm done. I'm not sure if I'm going to preach this sermon next week, but I mean, the one sermon. But here's what we're going to do. You're all invited to our luncheon. And as Susan said, they just wanted lunch is about saying, hey, thank you. So I hope everybody can come. We got chairs and stuff for everybody. If we don't, find a place to sit and we'll just eat and it'll be good. What's that? Okay, what you're eating? I have no idea what we're eating. Ice, what?
Do you want me to tell?
Sure.
There's fried chicken, there's macaroni and cheese, there's baked ziti, there's meatballs, there's sausage, peppers and onions, a salad, and then dessert.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, don't make any calls to family until everybody goes through the line first. Oh. Okay. Brian has a discerning palate, I can tell. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to pray for our food. But, and again, if you keep hearing this, you're just going to. I mean, I remember thinking when I left here, I thought, when I left here, I left your life counts here. But your life counts in my heart. So if I start saying it again, yeah, that's old news. It isn't old news for me. I want to live in such a way that people know that their life counts. Jesus died for their life. And but let's really strive. No invisible people in this church. If you don't know somebody's name, you can still say hello. And I don't care how, it's just like Pastor Brian struggling with, if you struggle with saying hello to somebody, then pray about it. Work through it. I mean, it's a miracle I am married. I ain't kidding you. I'm so scared. Man, I mean, it is a miracle of miracles. But I'm glad I muscled through. I mean, muscled through made it sound bad, but I'm glad I overcame my own things. Because, all right, let's stand together. If you're visiting today, please forgive me for yelling at you. I wasn't yelling at you. I was just talking loud because I was afraid you weren't listening. All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I got to admit that I've been in ministry a long time, Carrie and I. I just think of the countless services we've been a part of and prepared, songs that Carrie has sung and led, and sermons that I've preached. But Father, thank you for giving me a fresh look and to know that what you did in my life, you can do in the life of somebody else. And Father, we're all so different. Our personalities and stuff, our backgrounds are all so different. But I pray that somehow, and Father, help us to first ask you, but help us to care about people. Father, in the church, we certainly hope there are no invisible people, but what about all the invisible people?